Hey, this is January. A few years ago, we made January a month of prayer for the church, in case you're not tracking or keeping up with that. And you probably have forgotten that, but then you start getting these text messages, right? And these text messages were prayer focused for the month. And so you'll get a text message every day at around 3 p.m. And that'll be a time for you to, if you can, stop what you're doing and just kind of spend a minute in prayer. And so, and you go, man, why 3 p.m? Why couldn't we do it at noon? That's when my lunch break is, you know what I mean? Or in the morning or something like that. And, you know, we've done this at different times. We've had it in the morning. We've had it at noon. This is the first year we're doing it at 3 p.m. Anyone know why 3? Yeah. You read through the book of Acts. You know, the disciples were still practicing this 3 times a day ritual. It had become a tradition or a ritual within the Jewish faith to pray 3 times a day. Twice a day, in the morning, and about 3 p.m, there would be a sacrifice at the temple. So they'd be doing these sacrifices at the temple. And so the Jews, they would go and pray. They would pray in the morning, and they would pray during the 3 p.m. sacrifice, right? Or the 3 p.m. sacrifice time. The 3 p.m. is actually called the ninth hour, which may sound familiar, because there was another sacrifice that happened. He hung from the 6th hour until the 9th hour. So at about 3 p.m, Jesus, he then said those famous words, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he gave up his spirit. And so then you can imagine then that the Jews and the disciples, they would then continue to practice this 3 p.m. prayer. Because they was part of their national or their tradition or ritual nationally, people would just do it. They'd pray in the morning, they'd pray at 3, and then they'd pray in the evening as well. But for the disciples, they were able to remember the 3 p.m. real sacrifice. That there would be these sacrifices happen at the temple, but there was also a sacrifice that they were remembering as well that took place at 3 p.m. So why 3 p.m? Well, give you an opportunity to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. Amen. So if you get a moment, you'll get that buzz. If you're in a bit, you know, middle of a really, really important business meeting and you're doing a presentation or something like that, maybe you just go, hey, I got to run to the bathroom. Okay. No one argues with you, right? You got to go to the bathroom and just go and just do a little prayer and you can come back. Amen. But anyway, you'll get that message every day. At 3 p.m. So just a little kind of a historical reminder of the 9th hour. Of course, the 1st hour starting around 6 a.m., 9th hour being around 3. Amen? But we're going to talk about prayer, and today's topic is why we pray. Why we pray. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, you are good, mighty, and merciful. We thank you, God, that you give us the opportunity to pray, that we get to pray, that we get to be with you, we get to talk to you, we get to have access to you at any time we want. We don't have to go through a priest, but that any time we want, we could talk to you, we could be in relationship with you, there's an open invitation into relationship with you, and I do pray that we I know our souls, they long for it. I pray that you'll help our bodies to long for it. You'll help us to really just have this deep, deep desire to be close to you. And God, help us, Father, just to want to deepen our private time with you. God, to deepen our public time with you, of course, but may we seek to have great prayer times with you regularly and times with you, God, that draw us closer. God, not just to you, but draw us closer to one another as well. And we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for your sacrifice. And help us to never grow weary of remembering your sacrifice. We do every Sunday here, as Lou helped us to remember today, but may we just daily remember who you are and what you've done for us. And we need you, we love you, we thank you. We pray all this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Why we pray. Why we pray. Go back to the first slide for me. There you go. Thank you. All right, good deal. All right, that's the second slide. Thank you. Give it up for Van. Van's doing a great job back there. So we pray. Prayer is a relationship with God. Prayer is never about performance. We are invited into this great relationship with God. And so let's dive in here in Luke chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through, I don't know where we're going to stop there, Van. But I'll just keep reading. All right. One day, we're all familiar with this passage, and I read this passage in one of my first Bible studies I did when I was before I became a Christian. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend. And you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine is on a journey and has come to me. And I have no food to offer. And suppose the one inside answers, oh, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children are in bed and I am in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up. And give you as much as you need. And the church said, amen. And the Bible says one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, just one of those days. And I think it's not unlike any other day. Jesus often prayed very often. This just happened to me one day. He was praying in a certain place. And the question that these guys ask is so powerful, and it's striking, because they don't ask Jesus, okay, how long we should pray, Lord. They don't ask him anything like that, but their question, or how they approach Jesus, and they say, Lord, how often? They don't even ask how often we should pray. They don't ask what word should we use necessarily. But they say, Lord, teach us to pray. And you go to the next slide. Teach us to pray. 3 points here. Performance, prayer is a performance. It's about a relationship. Point number one, disciples ask how, not how often. Jesus discourages performance prayer. God is moved by trust, and he's not impressed by eloquence. You know, prayer, it's not a religious duty, okay? But it is a relational invitation to be with God. That's what prayer is. It's we're being invited to have a relationship with God. And I love it. It's an open invitation that we can access at any time, but it is an invitation. At any time you want, you can have a relationship with God. And prayer, it's got to be about relationship. If it's not about relationship, then it becomes about something else. And one of the things it can become about is about performance. It becomes about, oh, how do I do it? Or how do I look? Or did I pray long enough? Or did I say the right words? Or did I follow the script? And, you know, none of that's sustainable. The only thing that is really sustainable is that we are in relationship with God. That's what prayer is. I mean, everything that God invites, it's all about relationship with God. Point number one, disciples ask how, and they don't ask how often. Teach us to pray. This requires tremendous humility, right? Go ahead. Next slide. Teach us to pray. We're not going to start a series on the Lord's Prayer. I just was fascinated. I just love this picture, right? Yeah. Isn't it a cool picture? Sweet. Lord, teach us to pray. This is a humility that is really required for us to be in relationship with God. You know, the fact that these were disciples, right? These were people that were religious. They already had an idea of who Jesus was. And I don't think that this is the first time that they had ever prayed in their life. But it was something about observing Jesus. It was something about how Jesus prayed. You know, can you imagine what it must have been like? You're like out one day and then Jesus just sort of disappears. Like, where did he go? Where is he? He's just always sneaking off. Is he with somebody? Where is he now? And then they're going to go, we can't find him. We don't know where he's at. And then someone goes, hey, we see him. And then you look off in the distance and Jesus is out there and he's praying. Jesus is praying. Now, I don't know what it was about his prayer. I don't know if they could hear him. I don't know if he was just wailing around or walking back and forth. I've had all of those kind of prayers. I've had the prayers where I'm like, oh, God. I've had prayers where I'm walking fast. I've had prayers where I'm walking slow. I've had prayers where I've had to sit down. I've had prayers where I've had to kneel. I had a lot of prayers where I'm just saying nothing. I don't even know if I'm praying, God. I'm just out here walking around thinking about you. I think I'm praying. I've had all of those. But there was something about Jesus as they watched. And, of course, when Jesus is praying, you're not going to walk up and interrupt them. Hey, Lord, are you praying? That would be stupid, right? They knew what he was doing. But as they watched and as they observed, I got a feeling those guys walked away. God, I don't think we really know how to pray, guys. Yeah. I think we have a lot to learn in our prayer life. And I do believe that prayer is relational in every sense, but it is something that we're still learning how to do. And I think we'll be learning how to pray for the rest of our lives. I don't think we'll ever be experts at it. And that's okay, and that's good, and that's encouraging. I want to take a little pressure off of you, amen? You may have started this year and go, bro, my prayer life stinks. That's okay. Okay, relatively speaking, it may not be what you think it should be, but that's okay. Jesus will still meet you where you are, and he is still, even though you may feel like it's not great and you're judging yourself by some metric or criteria that's not even in the Bible, amen? But Jesus goes, but I still want to be close to you. But you just have to have this spirit. Lord, teach us to pray. How do I pray? How do I get better? Dave Dewey's advice is really good. Ask a friend. This is a really great thing to ask someone because I get a feeling the disciples are all together. They all go, hey, we want to learn how to pray. And we've come to you together, Jesus. This wasn't, I don't think, an individual thing where they go, you know what? Well, one guy saw Jesus praying. I'm not even going to tell him. I'm just going to, this is my opportunity to learn something from Jesus, just me and Jesus. And I believe he wanted the other guys, wanted the other disciples to engage, to be with him. And so together we have to learn to pray together, amen? It's a thing we all can have this, Lord, teach us to pray attitude and spirit. You know what, we're so much better because when we all learn together, we're all so much more connected to Jesus. And I think that's the way he wants it. He wants us to be connected to him together. You know, we tend to ask questions like, am I praying enough? Am I doing it right? Are my prayers too weak? Are they faithful? Are they too repetitive? Are they too simple? We ask those questions. We can't help it because, well, again, we like to measure ourselves. And what are we measuring ourselves against? I'm not really sure, but we measure ourselves, no doubt. And slowly, we don't even tend to do it. But our prayers, they turn into performance management. I've got to manage my prayer performance. I've got to know how it's going, and I've got to make sure that it's measuring right. And maybe you're not taking out, you know, notes and really jotting down and logging every day how it's going. Maybe you're not doing that, but emotionally and mentally, you've done a little bit of that. And it's a little discouraging, isn't it? Because then when you miss a prayer time, you go, oh, I suck. I stink. You know, man, I'm no good at this. And we're hard on ourselves, right? We're asking those questions rather than asking, am I with God? God, am I with you? Am I near you? We can start asking ourselves, did I check the box? And you know, checking the quiet time box, it sounds cool after a while. But you know what happens? By 3 p.m, you don't even remember what you had for your quiet time. You're just kind of like, what did you read this morning? I don't know. I was just checking the box, man. I don't really remember it. I was just checking the box. But prayer was never meant to be measured by the minutes we log. It's meant to be measured by our nearness to the Lord. Amen. But it's going to take this spirit of, Lord, teach us to pray. I want to be close to you. Lord, at the end of the day, I just want to draw near to you. Amen? Amen. Point number two, is that encouraging?
Yeah.
Does that discourage you? Point number two, you know, Jesus discourages or even dismantles performance prayers. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Another passage very similar to what we just read, but in Matthew chapter 6, we'll start in verse 5. Through 15. Thank you, Van. And Jesus says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. This then is how you should pray. It goes on, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And I don't think Jesus is condemning public prayer, amen? Not at all. But what he's doing is he's confronting performance-oriented prayer. You can go to the next slide. He's not condemning public prayer. I think public prayer is a good thing, but he's condemning performance prayer. He's condemning this idea that what you do is to be seen by others, to be recognized by others. Prayer that is about being seen, about sounding spiritual, about proving something to other people, and maybe even sometimes for ourselves, Jesus exposes these things as they're actually dangerous. You can go to the next slide. Anyone ever been here before? Let's give the teens a chance to read this. Kidding, you get that? Okay. We've all done this before, right?
Yeah.
Anyone who do that? I've done this, right? Because it's real about saying, I pray for you. I'm going to let people know I'm praying for them.
Yeah.
And it is a good thing to pray for people, and I think it's a good thing to let people know you're praying for them, amen? Amen. But not if it's to seem, right, like, well, I want to be known as the person that prays for you. If it's about you or something you're proving to yourself, then it's not going to be helpful. This is what Jesus is talking about, amen? These are not the kind of prayers that are going to help. But I think Jesus, he's actually saying, this is not what's going to help you because you're missing the point of prayer. You've engaged in something that is a little bit more, look at me, check me out. How great am I? How cool am I? Because performance type things always have to worry about how you sound and how you come across. You know, I think the world is turned upside down in sports. Sorry, sisters, this is a sports analogy. Just hang in there with me. But Indiana football is good, and their basketball stinks. Nebraska basketball is good, and their football stinks. The world's upside down, Jeff Hubby. What happened? Okay. Jeff is an Indiana guy, and Indiana is basketball country, but their football team is unbelievable. I watched them the other day. I'm thinking, these kids really are good, man. And who knew? Who knew there was a 6'5 Puerto Rican? I mean, I've never heard of such a Dominican. Is he Dominican or Puerto Rican, whatever he is? 6'5. I'm just going, I've never seen a six. That guy's 6'5. And he is really good, okay? Their quarterback. Dominican or Puerto, I don't know what he is, but sorry. I don't mean to be insulting, but he's really good, okay? But here's the deal. I watched them play and I watched the post game of the quarterback. And the quarterback, they were asking him questions. That guy was as scripted as I've ever seen in my life. I'm going, that kid has practiced his post-game speech. I mean, the questions they were asking, I'm like, did he have the script? I'm like, he is a genius. No, when you're getting paid now millions of dollars in college, you practice your post-game script. If you'd have stuck a mic in my face when I was playing sports, I'd be like, yeah, we were running fast. It was fun. Okay, I wasn't that bad. But one of a good friend of mine. Okay, this is a Neil Smith story. Neil Smith is a Hall of Fame defensive end, played for Nebraska. Played for the Kansas City Chiefs, for Denver Broncos, great athlete, grew up in New Orleans, and so all of us are friends with Neil. But Neil played in Nebraska. Neil was a beast. He was a defensive end animal. He could run like a 4-4. He was long and strong and fast, and he was so good. And after one of the games, Neil wasn't scripted. After one of the games, Neil, they stick a mic in Neil's face, like, Neil. You know, he's talking about the game, and he's got this really thick Southern New Orleans accent. And he said, Neil, what factor do you think fatigue played in the game today against the offense? What factor do you fatigue play in their offense against your defense? And Neil goes, fatigue? What number was he? I mean, we just dragged Neil for months. Fatigue! Neil, here comes fatigue, watch out! What number was he? But my point is that we don't pray to form. I got way off topic, didn't I? The quarterback performs really well. And they're all performing. Now sports is about performing, okay? It doesn't even seem like sports anymore, but they are all performing, okay? But we don't perform in our prayer life. And we've got to be careful, right? Because we have so much access to so much social media and so many things. And so I see people out there on social media that are sometimes putting things out. I'm just going, dude, who wants to know that about you? Like, who do you think really cares that much about, you know, I'm praying about this? Well, nobody asked you that. Or you're on some righteous kick. Like, really, does anybody really, who is sitting around going, I wonder what Vince thinks? Let me just go to his social media page and ask him. People who want to know what I think, call me. And not many people call me, amen? We got to make sure that we're not performing. Manny, don't call me. You know, you could be praying a lot and it still not be relational. You know, that makes sense? If you're thinking about how you sound and how you come across and who knows about and all these things, that is not the kind of relationship that Jesus died for you to have. Jesus says the Father already knows what you need anyway, right? That means he's not discouraging prayer. He says, go ahead and be open. Open yourself up to him. Talk about it. Tell him everything you need. But he already knows. And the reason you do it is because I want to be in close relationship with you, Lord. I don't just want to look good, sound good. I want to be close to you. Amen. And finally, point number three. God is moved to him, for God is our refuge. God is our refuge. Trust in him. Pour yourself out to him. He is our refuge. Listen to the language. This language is not polished language, right? This is not about polishing your hearts. This is not about editing your hearts. It's not even about filtering your hearts, right? It's pure. Pour your hearts out. Give it up. Turn it all over. God is not just, he's not impressed by your prayers, but he is totally impressed by our honest hearts. Some of the most prayerful or the most faithful prayers in scriptures, they're messy. They're really messy. And David will go, how long, God? How long? Why have you forsaken me? You know, the people that came to Jesus, they were not always that faithful. One guy goes, I believe. Okay, well, help me overcome my belief. You're like, wait, which is it? Do you believe or you not believe? I don't know. I'm a mess, okay? I'm all over the place here. I know it's not right. I'm not coming perfect. I'm just coming. I'm just here. These prayers, they're not eloquent. But they're real. And real prayer builds real relationship. See, God can handle your realness, even when no one else can. Sometimes we go to other people, and they can't handle our realness. And they're, to some degree, not supposed to. You're like, I'm just keeping it real. They're like, well, just go keep it real with God. I don't need all of this on me. Well, you're not a real friend. I just can't handle your stuff today, okay? I haven't prayed yet, amen? But you know, when we're performance-based, man, it's a burden to us, okay? When you're living to perform, doesn't it get exhausting? It gets tough, it gets tiring, it gets exhausting to be on stage. Oh, the time. And it's certainly not healing. And you begin to feel like I'm burnt out. You can go to the next slide. I can't handle this anymore. Okay? I can't stay in there anymore. Okay? And God doesn't need you to fluently persuade him. Okay? God doesn't need that. He doesn't need you to come in with flowery to persuade him, you know, I'm going to read all of this scripture to God, and that'll persuade God. God's going, I wrote it. I know what it, what? You know what I mean? Like, you're not impressing me at all. But he does want our hearts, amen? He just wants our hearts. He wants us to draw nearer to him than ever. Closer than we can ever imagine. Three questions for us that you can take home with you. Three questions. One is, am I with God? Or am I starting to manage my spirituality? Am I with God or am I managing my spirituality? Am I with God? Two, am I being seen or am I being honest? Am I being honest or am I just being seen? Three, am I trusting God or trying to sound right? Three questions, very related, very connected to one another, but good questions for us to ask ourselves, to pray through, right? Am I managing my spirituality now? Am I being honest with God? And am I trusting God or just trying to sound like I'm trusting God? These are good questions for us to ask. You know, people stop praying. Many people don't pray, or they stop praying. They stop praying and they stop believing. And they stop praying because prayer, it becomes exhausting. It's exhausting, it's too scripted. It's too pressured. And it's too disconnected from real life. They're exhausted because they even feel like, I prayed about this and I prayed about it and I prayed about it and And at the end of the day, God, isn't God actually like a jukebox? I put my coin in and it gives me back what I want. Wow. So you're good. Glad you know what a jukebox is now. You're into this sermon. But prayer just becomes exhausting. Prayer is the place where we come to be known by God. It's a place where we come to be known, and I just say, God, here I am. Know me. Know me full well. Even when I'm tired, even when I'm distracted, even when I'm unsure, it's a place where I can come and say, God, come and know me. So I'll give you a little tool, okay? In addition to the 3 p.m. prayer, you can implement the 2 to 3 minute daily honest prayer. 2 to 3 minutes a day, anytime you want, in the morning, at night, anytime. Well, you can just go to God and you can practice this. You can say, God, I don't even know what to pray. Oh, God, I'm tired. Oh, God, I'm weak. Lord, give me strength. I think I had a grandmother that prayed that prayer a lot. It was usually right before she was going to beat me. Lord, give me strength. To not kill this boy. But Jesus, I'm just so afraid right now. Oh Lord, I'm so frustrated. But whatever it is, no spiritual language required here. No impressive phrases needed. No solutions, no filtering, no fixes. Just 2 minutes. 2 minutes to just say to Jesus, I'm afraid. I'm scared, I'm tired, I don't even know what to pray, and you know what? This counts as a prayer. And for all of you judgy people, because that's a word now, that's okay, amen? And sometimes we judge ourselves the most, amen? But imagine this church where prayer isn't this profound thing that we practice. But we become a people that we don't avoid prayer, but we're people that are close, that we pray regularly. We don't feel inadequate to pray. You know, it's always one of the most disappointing, not disappointing, I actually respect it. But one of the things I appreciate when we're in Bible studies with people Jacob and I will be doing a Bible study on campus with a campus guy. And sometimes go, man, why don't you wrap clothes out in prayer? And then inevitably the guy would go, man, I don't know, I'm not very good at it, but here we go. I love that. Isn't that awesome? You're like, dude, you don't have to be good at it. You know what I mean? He just does it anyway. He goes, and he looks up at you like, was that good enough? You're like, that was awesome, dude. Because it's about just being with the Lord. It's not a religious duty, prayers. It's a relational invitation. Let's close in song.